You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 98 of Teach Better Talk. I'm Ray Hewart, and as always, I am with the rock star, Jeff Gargis.
The rock star.
You're a rock star. Our podcast guest supported it. I'm relatively okay with calling you a rock star. You're a rock star, Jeff Gargis.
Awesome.
So we had a ton of fun this episode. I just want to preface, I am such a Megan Deegan fan. I'm so thrilled that she came on the podcast. But before we get into any of that fun, what do you think was your biggest takeaway from this episode?
You know, we love Megan. Megan is such a passionate teacher that just, and we talk about that, just that she just loves what she's doing. She talks a lot about, and I think something to listen to is just her. And this isn't something that we don't ever talk about. Like, we talk a lot about connections and networking, but I love how she talks about what type of people you really want to find and surround yourself with, and that she has, and why that's important. And we go a little bit into that about, you know, just challenging and questions and things of that nature. So I was really happy. I really liked the way she talked through that. One thing I did want to do, Ray, is that, you know, something she talks quite a bit about, and something that we've talked, you know, we mention a lot, I think, throughout randomness on this podcast or in our groups and stuff like that, but we've never really discussed it in much detail on the podcast, I don't think. And that's the GRID method, the Master Learning Framework that we train on. And Megan talks quite a bit about it because she's a champion for it. She uses it in her classroom. She's a true believer in it, and she does an amazing job with it. And so can you break down, so that when Megan is talking throughout this episode about the GRID method and the different things she uses, some of the terminology and stuff, can you share for everyone listening who doesn't know what that is, can you break down, like, what is the GRID method?
Absolutely. So I've been talking about this actually this morning. I talked about this in our live PD in our private group on Facebook. But the GRID method is, it's so interesting to explain, because it's a mastery framework which allows the educator to kind of build a scaffolded unit for their students. And in the framework allows the students to move throughout their learning at their own pace, which allows them to get the support that they need when they need it. The joke, though, I always like to preface with is that a framework sounds really rigid. And at first, I felt like that was so limiting. And the realization I had, and it's funny because I was with Megan when she had this realization, is that the framework provides support for the educator and support for the student, but there is so much flexibility that the educator has, which is why I think teachers have really grabbed hold of this mastery framework, is because it really can fit their content and their students in any type of classroom. And I find that to be kind of the magic sauce of why I love talking about the GRID method so much, is it, just like Megan articulates in this episode, it truly did. And I know it sounds dorky, and obviously we joke around this podcast, but if I could have a very serious moment for a second, it changed my life. And I don't mean for that to be dramatic in the sense of, oh my gosh, I was, you know, in this horrible place. I really felt like I was a good teacher, Jeff, before I did the GRID method. And now that I've done it in my classroom over the past few years, I cannot go back, because my students are thriving. And to be able to not only see that in my classroom, but in classrooms across the country, whether I'm working with a teacher like Megan or a teacher, gosh, anywhere in the country, I love being able to see how we put all these data-supported ways to support students onto one collection that creates this mastery framework. Because Webb's depth of knowledge and mastery learning and personalizing students' approach and targeting feedback, and these are all best practice techniques, goal setting and reflecting. These are all best practice techniques that as educators, we know we should do those. We know that these are good practices that data is showing us, research is showing us, allows students to be successful. But it makes it easy. It makes it, granted, any transition in the classroom is not easy, but it makes it scalable. It makes it doable. I just love talking about the GRID method. So I think that I touched on, at least I'm hoping, what you wanted me to say, which is it's a mastery framework scaffolded using Webb's depth of knowledge that the teacher builds a unit within and then students move throughout their learning progression. But gosh, there's so much built in that as the educator, I know when I start a unit with my students, I have not only considered the support my lowest students need, but I've considered levels upon levels of enrichment for my higher students and everything in between. So like I said, it really has changed my classroom. And I was thrilled that Megan kind of touched on her journey as well in this podcast recording.
You can find out more about the GRID method, I mean, obviously over at teachbetter.com and all the information we have there. There's also a free course over at teachbetteracademy.com for all that. We have a bunch of free courses over there. There's also a bunch of paid courses. It's also a $9 a month membership that gets you everything over at teachbetteracademy.com. I think we're at like $450 worth of courses that you get right away for $9. All that's over there, so you can find out more about the GRID method. But I just wanted you to have a little bit of an idea of it as we're talking with Megan. So our guest is Megan Deegan. Megan is a middle school math teacher, both 7th and 8th grade. She's 7 years into that. And I said it earlier that she truly loves what she does. If you ask her what she does, she says she gets to hang out with her favorite people all day, every day, doing math all day, every day, and she loves it. And we love hanging out with her. We love talking with her. This was a great episode. I really want you to focus and listen to the way in which Megan talks about her network and people she's connected with, people she surrounds herself with. When she talks about failure and what she takes away from it, I think was really, really powerful. And then how she talks about reflection and what she does with that and what that's done for her, I think is really, really strong, really powerful, and something you really need to pay attention to. Ray, anything particular that's standing out that you really want listeners to pay attention to through this episode?
Yeah, you know, Megan is the epitome of an educator that's just striving to do well in the classroom. And I think that her stories really articulate that. So I hope you soak it in. I hope you connect with her. And I hope you continue to take on, you know, kind of the Megan Deegan challenge of asking those hard questions, getting answers, because your kids deserve it.
And with that, let's get into episode 98 with Megan Deegan.
Hey everyone, I hope you're enjoying the episode, but I am interrupting just simply because I want to make sure you have our Teach Better Conference discount code. Now, our conference is November 8th and 9th, and we have some incredible speakers that are coming to join us at this event, and we want you there. So with this discount code, you get $50 off of registration, and the code is PODCASTTALK. Now let's get back to the episode.
All right, we're here and we're talking with Megan Deegan. And Megan, it's so much fun having you on a podcast already. Everyone listening isn't hearing, but we've been laughing for like 5 minutes straight so far. So we've been connected to you for a long time. I feel like I say that about a lot of people we have on the podcast, but we really have been connected with you for a long time. I can't remember when it was the first time you got in, like connected to either. I can't remember if you came in via Mastery Chat or the GRID method or what, but you rocked the GRID method in your classroom. We've seen you the last 2 years at Spark. We've had so many conversations with you. It's been so awesome just getting to know you, and so cool that we get to finally have you on the podcast here. And for episode 97, why did it take 97 episodes to get her on this, Ray?
Great question. I don't know. Megan's one of my favorite people, so I have no idea why it took so long for her to sign up.
Who's responsible? Because I want them in my office today. Yes. I don't know what I'm doing, acting like I'm the boss or something. No, Megan, it really is awesome to have you on there. So we really appreciate you coming on, taking some time, hanging out with us, dealing with us. Before we get going any further, how are you feeling right now?
It is great to be on here. I've listened to most of the episodes so far. I love hanging out with the two of you and talking to you guys. So I am excited.
Megan, we have had a long day of recording today. We were so excited. We've had amazing guests that we've been interviewing so far, but I was really, really excited that you were coming on tonight. I love chatting with you. We always talk shop and have great, really deep educational conversations. So I am super excited for the one that we're going to have today that will be recorded for everyone else to hear as well. Would you mind kind of sharing your background, kind of answering that question of what you do so that our listeners kind of get to know you as well?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been teaching middle school math, mainly seventh grade, but a little bit of eighth grade. I can't believe it's already been 7 years and I'll be starting my eighth year soon. But yeah, essentially it's all math all the time, every day.
That's so much fun.
It's my favorite.
I'm glad that it's your favorite because I don't know if I would like that.
My favorite age people.
I love it. So, I made a joke there, but like, you're the person we need there doing that. Someone who really loves what they're doing. Like there's not even a value you can put on that. It's so valuable to have someone in a classroom who truly enjoys what they're doing. And I always joke with people, and I don't know if I've ever actually told this, like my joke and about you in front of you, but I always tell people, great. Like, if you want to know how Ray is, Ray's the person who literally jumps out of bed every day, pumped up about the fact that she gets to go teach.
It's true.
And I honestly believe that. I don't know if she actually does. Right now, she probably gets up a little bit slower with the injured shoulder. But, like, Megan, I get the same feel for you that no matter what the day before was like, that you get up every day and you're pumped up at the fact that you get to go teach. And I love that about you. So super excited to continue talking with you here. So let's talk about a time that you failed. And, Megan, I think we've talked about times before, and I know I've shared, you know, failures that I've had and how I love to reflect back and learn from and stuff. So can you tell us about a time that you've had a failure? Sort of tell us what happened, how did you overcome that? And then what'd you take away from that experience?
Definitely. We've definitely, I'm sure, had this conversation before because I've failed, you know, a million times, but that's okay. I think actually my biggest failure would probably be being afraid to fail and afraid to try new things, because I think that that just held me back from so much. I was so afraid that things weren't going to work when I tried them, and, you know, it was going to be an epic failure. And then, you know, where do I go from there once I've tried something and it just totally didn't work out? And I actually just kind of hit a point of frustration a few years ago, and which ironically led me to you guys. It was just one of those, I was so frustrated because I felt like I was reaching, you know, 40 to 50% of my kids every day. And I had this idea of like, wouldn't it be awesome if, you know, everybody could just learn what they need to learn every day and kind of where they're at. And so I honestly sat down with my kids and I was like, listen, guys, I have this idea and I have no idea how it's going to go. I've never done this before, but here's what it is. What do you think? And they were like, let's try it. So that was, again, the being afraid to fail was my biggest failure. But what kind of came out of that was more than I could have asked for.
I love that you said you were so frustrated. Ray, I'm reminded of Lavana Roth again. Was it Lavana that talked about
my gosh.
The frustration? Right? That was like the thing that she was most excited about, was teachers being frustrated. Because when you're frustrated, you do something about it.
Yes.
And Megan, that's so true. Rings so true when you're telling that, right, that story. I'm like, that's exactly what that is you were frustrated, so you did something about it. And I think it's been a good thing so far. You're seeing success now from that. And it was that frustration that led to that. So that's awesome. I love that story. That's great. So let's flip it now. Let's talk about a successful time. And this can be something big, something small, but tell us what happened. Why was it a success for you? And then what did you take away from it?
I think I'm going to kind of piggyback off of kind of where my failure was. I think my biggest success was kind of getting out of that bubble of being afraid to fail and now changing my mindset to loving failure. You know, I tell my kids all the time, probably daily, to the point where they don't want to hear me say it anymore, but we always say, you know, every failure just gets us one step closer to getting it right. And I just think that once I stopped being afraid to fail, like, it's opened so many doors, because now it's like, you know, whether I find something or I see somebody, you know, a teacher on Twitter or on Instagram, or, you know, an idea that you guys have, or an idea that maybe my admin has, and it's like, okay, let's try it. it may not, it's not going to be perfect. It, you know, may not work exactly the way we want, but like, let's give it a shot. And so I think that always trying new things has led me to just find so much that works in my classroom and so many things that I like and I enjoy. And I'm not afraid to, you know, try it all out, even if it's a total failure and everybody hates it. That's okay.
You know, Megan, I'm always, I say a lot to teachers when we're working with them and they bring up the fact that maybe they're afraid to try this or afraid to try that, is that if what you were doing or what you're trying to do, if you know or you believe that it is the best thing for your students, then you need to be able to try that and fail miserably and sleep okay at night knowing that you did it for the right reasons. You did it because you thought it was the best thing for your students. And that's okay. Like, you're going to take those chances. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to fail. But you continue to do it. If you're doing it for the right reason, it's okay. You're just learning. You're growing. So I love that you are at the point where you're not afraid to fail anymore, because it's leading to good things and leading to better things for yourself, but for your students. And so that's awesome. Loving it.
That's something we continue to talk about. I mean, at the beginning of this podcast, I talked about how we always get into really deep discussions. And Megan, I think that that is a lot to do with your dedication of reflection. I mean, I remember I was fortunate enough to come to your classroom and I brought donuts, which is probably the most important part of the story. And
that was very important.
I remember
very
that.
Important. And you were constantly, even while I was there, just wanting to kind of exist in your space because I was so excited about everything you were working on. You were there reflecting and questioning and wanting to soak up every moment to see how to make your space that was already great, trying to make it even better. And your students kind of carried that same mentality. So I love connecting with teachers that are not only interested in growth, but dedicated to the mission, because now not only do you continue to reflect, which I love watching and witnessing, but you are so inspiring to the other educators that have connected with you. I've connected with so many teachers through you because they see you doing amazing things and they're kind of like in the background being like, wait, what are you doing? You know, what are you working on? How can I get involved in that? And I think that's so powerful.
Thanks. That's awesome. I mean, that's awesome. I think it's really too, you know, it's, you can't be afraid to try the new things, but also you have to kind of, what snapped it for me was really, I want my kids to try new things. I want my kids to know that what we're doing is the best for them and know why we're doing it. But if I'm not modeling that, how do I expect them to do it? I want them to take the risks. I want them to always kind of be open to things. So that's, I think, a really hard step. And it was a really hard step for me, was kind of opening it up to the kids and being like, all right, what did you like and what did you not like? Knowing that there were going to be things that they threw at me that they didn't like, that, you know, maybe like felt like my baby that I just loved. So I think it was, you know, it's finding that, I always talk to them about finding that happy medium of, there's some things that we have to do. There's some things you're going to do that you don't like, but, you know, how can we come to that compromise together so that it's the best for you? And I still feel like it's what is best for you.
You have done so much. I have to ask you, with everything you've been working on, changing, collaborating with your students on enhancing, what is fueling your fire? What's keeping you excited? You know, you have so much drive. Where does that come from?
You know, I think what I'm so excited about now is the amount of teachers that I can collaborate with. You know, we're getting closer to starting this brand new year, which is always, you know, kind of nervous and exciting at the same time. But I think back to when I started teaching, and this was all probably out there, I just didn't know about it and I wasn't connected. But all the teachers that I connect with on Twitter and on Instagram, just kind of seeing day to day the conversations and the activities, I would say 85 to 90% of the things that I do in my classroom, I've gotten from other teachers and adapted to, you know, fit my classroom. And that is so incredibly awesome that it's just at our fingertips all the time.
Absolutely. And I like that focus of you've borrowed it from other teachers, but then you've adapted it for your students. I think that's a huge element of education right now, is being able to take resources and ensure that you're then fixing them for how your students need to, you know, receive them. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome. So with that being said, I mean, you've not only been working on things with your own classroom, but you've also worked with a lot of other teachers. I mean, Jeff, what was it back in May? We all bumped into each other at a workshop with the Ames Network.
Yeah, we did. Yep. That wasn't a great that wasn't workshop. May, wasn't it?
It was May. And Megan, you brought your colleague with you to work on grids. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
Awesome. So as you're working with all these teachers, obviously kind of inspiring educators to take a good look at how they are framing their classroom to be student focused, what type of advice do you give a teacher, whether it be a teacher that's maybe just interested in what you're working on or a new teacher just in general entering into education? I know that's kind of probably two separate pieces of advice, but maybe share both of those. What do they need to be successful?
I think my biggest piece of advice would be find your tribe of teachers. Like, find those positive teachers that are passionate about what they're doing, whether it be in, you know, hopefully in your building, in your district, but also on Twitter, in through Instagram. Like, find those teachers that are, number one, going to keep inspiring you to be better. Cause, you know, you see all these posts and you're like, oh, like, that's awesome. You know, you can grab all these activities that you can use in your classroom. But also, you know, find those teachers that not only think similar to you that are going to kind of push you, but also find those teachers that are very different. You know, I've got a lot of teachers that I work with, and some are, you know, very, very similar mindset, and some have a very different mindset. But I've learned from the teachers that have a very different mindset, they question me in kind of all the right ways. And I think that, you know, there are times, all the time, like, it's good to be questioned. And it's not always in a negative way. It helps you grow. It helps you, you know, there are times I take a step back and I'm like, maybe I didn't see in this activity how it went. And in my mind, I think, you know, it went really, really well. And questions from other teachers come up and I'm like, oh, you know, I didn't think of that. You know, that's a different avenue. That's maybe a better way. So I think just finding those teachers that are going to keep that drive going and push you to be the best educator you can be.
And I'm sorry, I want to ask a follow-up to that. Where are you finding those educators? Are they in your building?
I do. I have a lot of really great teachers in my building. And I do, and I will say, I have in my building, I only have, you know, two or three educators that are teaching with the grid. So there are a lot of teachers that, you know, teach very, very differently and don't teach with the grid. And so, but even those teachers and those conversations are so beneficial. So we do have a lot just within my building, but I have, you know, a group of teachers that I worked with in my old district, and we still talk daily and get together. And so even that perspective from different buildings, different districts is, you know, helps me grow and helps me learn new things.
Absolutely.
I love that. And Megan, I love that you're talking about the people that question you in all the right ways. And it's one of the most important things I think we can surround ourselves with is people who are going to question what we're doing, but in the right way, right? For the right reasons. And the people that are going to keep us in check, keep our feet grounded, as they say, and help us think through the things that we might not always think about. That's just a great way. I always joke that I'm sort of a run through the wall kind of guy. So, like, I'm like, here's an idea. Like, I got it. We'll go. We'll just figure it out later, right? And I've always tried to surround myself with people like Chad who go, now, wait a minute, buddy. What's the wall made of? How fast do you need to go and at what angle? And then how bad is it going to get hurt? Are you going to get hurt? And where's the closest hospital, right? Like, slow down. Let's look at things, right? And let's project things. And people like Ray who come and say, hey, Jeff, I like how we do this, but I don't think we do it quite right. Why don't we do it like this? And then we can talk. And Ray, I think it was just a few days ago, you said something about, you're like, oh, you're like the best person in the world to like bring ideas to, because I say things and you like, we just talk them through and go forward with it. And I think we talked about it. I was like, well, yeah, it's because I don't always have the right ideas. And if we're doing something because it's how Jeff came up with an idea of doing it, that doesn't mean it's the perfect way to do it. So I love when Ray can be like, hey, I think, why aren't we doing it like this? And typically my answer is like, because we just never thought of that yet, right? So that's the same thing in the classroom is, hey, why do you do that? Or maybe you shouldn't try this, or maybe you should try that. Like, that's how we grow. That's how we get better. So I love that you have those people that you're able to find, but also that you're in the position and that you are thinking the right way of being able to accept that feedback and accept those questions and place it into what you do in your classroom. So that's awesome, Megan. I appreciate you sharing that. Can I have you do something for us? Because I know you run it, and I know a lot of people who connect with us and listen to us hear about the grid method from time to time, because we do talk about it. We don't talk about it a ton on the podcast, but we do. Can you kind of share like your a little bit of your journey of trying out the grid method, kind of coming across it, putting it in place, and sort of the struggles you've had and what's worked well for you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I started again. It was with my biggest failure. I just, you know, I had gotten very frustrated, and it was actually 3 years ago, and it was my very first year in the district that I'm in now. And I again was just frustrated that I felt like I was reaching maybe 50% of my kids, which I'm just have that mentality that I want to reach every single one of my students every single minute of every day. And so it was around March. I had this idea for quite a while, and I really just wanted my kids to be able to work at their own pace and get what they needed every day. So I started, and the way I started was essentially I followed our curriculum and our books, and I just kind of let my kids go with, here's the lessons that you're doing every day, and you have to get, like, this is what you have to do. You have to get a signature at the end. You can take the quizzes when you're ready, and then, you know, as you move through and you're ready to test, you're ready to test. And it went well. Of course, there were a ton of hiccups, and being the very first time, and I was trying it, and being March when, you know, the kids are like used to something up until March. And then I was like, hey guys, let's just turn it upside down and try something crazy. But it went okay. And then I wasn't happy necessarily with like the organization of it. And so year two, I was too terrified to start it in August. And so I was like, okay. And I was, you know, I got to about December, January, and I was feeling the exact same way I'd been feeling in previous years. I was just frustrated. I wasn't reaching all my kids. I was like, here we are. This is happening again. This worked really well last year. Like, let's just try it. And it was actually, I will not forget, it was right around Valentine's Day. And I think it was Tiffany hosted 122 Ed Chat, which is our district's Ed Chat. Twitter chat, and Ray was in the chat too, and just in a 30-minute Twitter chat where I talked to Tiffany and Ray, you know, a couple times in that chat, just completely turned things around for me. And then that was on Wednesday night. Thursday night I participated in Mastery Chat, and it's kind of all been uphill from there, because then I, you know, was looking at your website. I was on the grid method. I was doing all the research that I could, because I was like, this is like the perfect way for me to fix everything I didn't like about the grid or about what I was doing prior to the grid. And so I started it with that group in March, and we did it till the end of the year. And it had still had a lot of bumps. Of course, it's a whole different set of kids. But it was 10 times better, and it was so much more of what I wanted, that over the summer I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. If I'm going to do this next year, it is going to be all or nothing. We are doing this. We're starting in August. This is all they're ever going to know, and we're going to go with it. And yeah, then last year it was all year, which was a huge shift for me personally, just in kind of prepping every unit like that. But it was also so beneficial. I know I just in that summer before starting it all year, I probably bothered Ray so incredibly much.
No, I was like, I loved it.
What do I do about this? And what do I do? You know, how do I do this? And It has been such a change, but such a good change. And I'm sitting here now, and what I've been thinking about, you know, for the last few weeks is everything that I want to change and make better for next year. So yeah, it's been a 3-year road, but it's last year was definitely the best, and I'm really looking forward to what it looks like this year, being that now I have a whole year of doing this with my kids under my belt. So now I just know so much more.
Absolutely.
I love it. I really appreciate you sharing that with us. We're going to see if the road gets a little bit better or worse right now, because now we're going to put a real challenge to you.
Dun, dun, dun.
The next six, questions, got to answer each one in 15 seconds or less.
That's a real big challenge, because usually I talk too much, but let's do this.
All right. What is one EdTech tool you cannot live without?
Right now, I'm really hooked on GimKit, because my kids just absolutely love it.
What's a book that you're reading right now?
I am just finishing up Hacking Leadership after being at Spark, and it is absolutely one of my favorites. I think everybody should read this.
Who do we need to follow on Twitter today?
I'm going to stick with my Hacking Leadership, and I'm going to say Joe Sanfilippo, because he is amazing.
We love Joe.
We love Joe.
He's so great.
Give us a great YouTube channel or website for educators.
I'm going to go YouTube. I use Math Antics a lot just because, you know, I teach math. I'm sure not everybody loves that one. And then website, the Teach Better website. Absolutely. So many amazing resources.
Give us a daily, weekly, or monthly routine every teacher should get into.
This is still one I'm working on, but self-care and balance, whatever that might look like for, you know, everybody individually, but it's so, so, so important.
And the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Reflect often, all the time, a lot. I didn't listen to that, you know, in my first few years of teaching. I didn't do it enough. It doesn't even have to be writing it down, but I just didn't reflect enough. And now that I do it all the time, I learn so much more daily about myself and what I'm doing. It really is a great change.
I think she did okay, Ray.
You think she did okay? You're giving her an okay review?
Well, she's not going to take the trophy because we got to steal from Joe.
Oh man, Joe has had the trophy for a long time. So
I don't know. You've given trophies to a lot of people, so they don't even mean anything. I mean, I think we've stolen from Joe a bunch of times, and I don't even know who has it at this point. But
it's kind of like a traveling trophy. Okay, everyone like puts it in the box, and you know, it's loving notes are sent back and forth. You're missing the whole point, Jeff. You've never seen the trophy because you can't do this part.
It's kind of like the Olympic torch, how it just gets like passed all around.
Yes.
Of course, the Teach Better Talk trophy is, you know, much more significance to it than the Olympic torch, but like, it's just always traveling, always going. You never know what it's going to be. So
I think, Megan, you did fabulous. You are such an amazing educator. I love that you're so close and I can come visit you every so often. And I think that if every teacher had just one small piece of your drive to try something new and not give up and ask those hard questions to get the answers you need to support your students, I think we'd be in a really great spot. So I'm so happy that you were on our podcast.
Well, thank you. That is so sweet of you and means a lot coming from the two of you, because I think the two of you are rock stars.
Jeff's okay. But I want to make sure. But for real, I do want to make sure everyone connects with you, because you're not only doing great things, but you have your Twitter chat every Wednesday and so many other pieces going on that our listeners have a lot to connect with. Would you mind sharing kind of those best ways to reach out to you?
Absolutely. I mean, I think Twitter is the number one. It's at mdegan122. My Instagram is the same, mdegan122. That's one of my goals this year, is to be better at Instagramming everything I do and kind of what goes on a daily basis. So that'll get there this year.
Nice.
And you know, you can find all the links and resources that we talked about in this episode over at teachbetter.com, as well as those important links for connecting with Megan and keeping the conversation going. So head over to the show notes at teachbetter.com for all of that. Be sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss any upcoming episodes. And if you can give us a rating and review, we'd really, really appreciate that a whole lot. And let's continue to take it one step further. Think of three of your colleagues who need to hear the amazing stories that these educators are telling and sharing with us here and share this podcast with them so they can learn and grow with us as well. Megan, it's so much fun anytime we get to talk with you, anytime we get to hang out with you. Super excited to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It's been a blast. You know, I love any excuse to talk to you guys.
Love it. And until next time, let's get out there and let's teach better.